Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his wonderful name together. Truly, I'm excited that you have joined me again on today, and we come to exalt that wonderful name of Jesus on today and to again impart some principle, biblical principle that is relevant for today's living that will empower the people of God. And yes, all of his wonderful word is relevant for today's living. And so I welcome you. I'm excited about you. I'm really excited about what God is going to do in and through your life, even on today, of all the wonderful, wonderful blessings that he has in store for you and your life. Truly, God is gracious unto his people in the midst of all of the turmoil, all of the transition, everything that is taking place and going on, even in this world today. God is still yet blessing his people. He is still yet fulfilling his promises unto his people. And when I come to tell you, even through this lesson, a refuge from the storm, God's purpose will always be met by his provision. And God is going to make the provision for you. And so on today, I'm going to invite you, if you would like to go with me on today, into Acts chapter number 28, verses number 1 through verse number 10. And again, we're going to be speaking in regards to a refuge from the storm. Now, let us look at the scripture text for today as we begin to gain a better understanding and lay a backdrop in the landscape of the lesson for today. And it reads on this line, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the Vietnamese beast hang on his hand, they said one another among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked at great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Potamus, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Potamus lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hand on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had disease in the islands came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they lauded us with such things as were necessary." And so let us take a look at our scripture verse in which we'll be looking at is verse number 1 and 2. And it reads on this line, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the Barnabas people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Let's look at our scripture and look at the word of the Lord on today. Now, when we look at this particular lesson today, it was based on the incident following a shipwreck that had happened as Paul's last and fourth missionary journey. Now, this shipwreck eventually was his third since it occurred during his final ocean voyage. And you'll find that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Now, the incident happened possibly in the last part of October, A.D. 59. Nearing the end of his third missionary journey, Agabus warned Paul not to go to Jerusalem, and he also prophesied of the fate that would befall him there. And so Agabus knew of the great hatred thereof Paul for his effectiveness for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is truly amazing that when individuals do well for God and are successful in the kingdom of God, there are those who are driven to see their demise. And we must recognize that and gain a better understanding that when we see that happening, that there will be those that would be driven to see the demise of those that are being effective in the kingdom building for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Paul could very well had this in mind as he wrote to Timothy during the last imprisonment in 2 Timothy 4 and 5. The scripture said, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Now, Paul arrived at the end of his third missionary journey in Jerusalem as a free man. And while he was in the temple speaking, he was threatened with violence by the Jews. Now, however, a Roman who arrested him really was protecting him from the murderous Jews. From this point until his death, Paul was a prisoner. They put him first in the Tower of Antony, and as they had studied for the past, as we have studied, you know, in our lesson, Paul faced numerous difficulties and obstacles from this point forward in his final days of his ministry. Now, the authority finally placed him on the ship bound for Rome, which suffered a devastating shipwreck that could have killed all who were aboard were it not for Paul and the grace of God. Now, we're going to observe the real child of God attitude of a real man of God in a dire situation, and that was the great storm. Now, let us stop for just a moment and to highlight for just one moment what is key is the child of God's attitude, disposition, when you find yourself in a dire circumstances or situation. How will you govern yourself and handle yourself when you find yourself in dire straits? And we're going to take a look at the example of Apostle Paul and what God did in and through this man of God's life after he has faced numerous dangerous and difficult obstacles and situation in his life. We're going to see how Paul made it through, even to the other side, with a good attitude and good spirit. Now, the days were not easy ones for Paul, but God had great plans for his final days, and he comforted and protected Paul throughout all the rest of his life. And you'll see that over in 2 Timothy 4 and 7. Now, one thing is certain, no matter the storm we all may encounter in life, God has a place of refuge for his people. And you can see Psalm 62 and verse number 7. It will give us a greater understanding about what the word of the Lord is speaking in reference to being our refuge. Now, let's look at the lesson and look at the owl of Melita. Now, there is a controversy as to whether Melita is the owl of Melita or the owl of Melita. Now, the controversy came from the reference of Andrea in Acts chapter 27, verse 27. However, the majority of the scholars believe that Melita was the modern-day Malta. Now, there is on this side of the island to this day St. Paul's Bay, which tends to give more credence to the idea that Melita was in the Antarctic Sea, while Melita was in the Mediterranean. Now, Luke also mentioned the owl of Claudia in Acts chapter 27 and verse 16, which was a place where the ship sustained damage and where they had to be put under girders so that they could continue. Now, we must check and recognize that this was the place that allowing of the drifting and the strong wind of the Euroclodon in Acts chapter 27 and 14. We can relatively be certain that Melita is the island mentioned, and they would have easily reached the island in 13 days from Fair Haven. Now, this is just, again, as we're giving you a backdrop and painting the picture in the landscape and putting paint upon the canvas so that we can gain a better understanding of the historical account and what was going on at that particular time. Now, the Isle of Melita is 56 miles south of the southern part of Sicily, and it's approximately 12 miles wide and 20 miles long. Now, let's look further and see. And it said, the King James Version of the scripture recorded as Melita, which is a word which means refuge. The word also meant honey because of the richness of the soil on the land. Honey was a product readily available for export. Further, the island had no hills or mountains, and there was much rocks there. However, there were soil, and it was rich, volcanic soil, and it was always interesting that God can make a refuge on a rocky island and that one can enjoy honey through surrendering and being surrounded by their trials. Moreover, the refuge in honey can provide the person's substance and strength for the rest of the journey. And so even in the middle of our circumstances and situations that we find ourselves sometimes going through, we got to recognize that God is surrounding you with not only a place of protection, but also he's surrounding you with honey as well, and a place of refuge. Now, let's look at, again, we're focusing on the lesson text and from the scripture. The Barnabas people built the fire. Now, God had told Paul that he was to be a witness in Jerusalem and in Rome. Now, he had completed his mission in Jerusalem, just as God had said. No matter the problem he encountered on the way, Paul was convinced that God will also see him safely to Rome, Acts 23 and 11. Now, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And so here God was pointing Paul to his future, that Paul, yes, you are going through some great things right now and you're dealing with some situation. Be of good cheer, Paul, because you're going to still bear witness for me and of me at Rome, And so in essence, what God was telling Paul, Paul, what I told you that you was going to Rome, you will be going to Rome. And I will see that you get there, that you may be a witness for me. And such as it is, sometimes even in our lives, that dire situations and circumstances come up sometime and try to cloud out what God said he was going to do. And I come to tell someone, whoever is listening on today, just like God spoke to our hearts, even on Sunday at our service, and said, God is going to do it just like he promised, as he has said he was going to do, as you've seen it in the vision, as he came to you in the dream, as he laid it in your spirit, he is going to do it. And God got you. Yes, he does. He got you. And he got that situation that you're dealing with. And you will do what God said that you would do, whether it be your metaphorically your Rome. You will go to your Rome. You will do what God said that you will do, even as he has promised unto you. It shall happen, just like he said it would. Now, as we studied, even in previous time, that Paul was warned and warned those before they left Fairhaven, and that's over in Acts chapter 27 and 10. However, the ship owner and the Roman centurion, Julius, who had the care of Paul, thought differently. And when the wind began to blow softly, they set a sail again, Acts chapter 27 and 13. Now, however, a storm arose called Euryclidon, and the shipmaster had to throw off some of their cargo, possibly some of the wheat. You'll see that in Acts chapter 27, 38, and tie ropes around the ship in an effort to save it from the wind and from the storm. Now, consequently, they ended up shipwrecked but safe on the Isle of Melita. Now, every prisoner benefit because of God's protection of Paul. Now, let me stop for just a moment, because I hear the Spirit of the Lord is laying something in my heart. People are benefiting off of who you are as a child of God, and they are not going down or even haven't been totally overthrown because of you, because of your blessing, because of your relationship with God, and because of the favor that God has upon your life. Many others that are around you are benefiting off of the blessing just because you are on board. That's what was happening to Paul. Because Paul was on board, God saved those that was on the ship, because Paul had to get to Rome. And so sometimes people fight against you, stand up against you, but little do they know that they are being benefited because of your favor, because of God's countenance is shining upon you, because you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ and the child of God. Oh, come on and clap your hands and holler, glory be unto the Lord our God. Thanks be unto God. Because the scripture even said, a sanctified wife sanctifieth her unsaved husband, and vice versa, and things, because of the anointing and the power of God that is resting and ruling upon your life. People are benefiting off of you. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that you are a man or a woman of purpose, and God is blessing you and blessing those all around you. Right in the middle of being in a dire strait or a dire circumstances, God is blessing everything around you. Now, every prisoner benefited because of God's protection for Paul. Even today, this world is hell from certain destruction because of the people of God. And if you don't believe me, go and read 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 6 and number 7, and you'll see how others are benefiting off of the children of God, the believers, those that believe God, those that are crying out, those that are holding fast and things and holding dear unto that which God has given us. And so, and when the Roman passengers and the Romans and the prisoners assembled ashore, everyone was accounted for. They didn't lose nothing, not a one. They found that they were in the midst of what they call barbarians, and the Romans considered everyone who did not speak Greek as barbarians. They were not cannibals or wild tribes of people, as some would believe. They probably spoke a dialect of the Pharisees' language. However, someone was able to establish communication between the two groups. Now, the people of Malaita were kind and receptive, and it was the fall of the year, and the weather was cold and raining. Apparently, the Malaitan people gave them dry clothes and a dry place to stay. Further, they built a warm fire for the shipwrecked travelers. Now, the kindness of the foreign people making a fire for those shipwrecked souls were in itself an act of God. They had no obligation to these people. However, God will reward the kindness of anyone to another. Even a drink of cold water will reap even a reward. Matthew 10 and 42. Further, the scripture commands us to be hospitable. And that you'll see that over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 2. Now, let's look at another aspect here of this lesson in regards about Paul being bitten by a snake. Now, Paul was one who felt the responsibility to assist in their trouble. He was not one who expected to be waited on by others just because he was an apostle or a man of God. So he involved himself in helping to gather the wood for the fire. Now, little did he realize that this work would get him into trouble, but it would also mark him truly as a man of God. Now, clearly, the child of God or the man of God, the minister, is neither above assisting in physical work of the church, nor in is he to carry out the load or responsibility or being even the cleanup person. We recognize that being a pastor, sometimes we do. We wear multiple hats and things. Sometimes we do have to clean up, have to do other type of work, even within the confound of ministering the word. Now, here, the early church, it taught us the important lesson when they organized the church with the deacons and men of good report and full of the Holy Ghost who would be able to oversee the daily physical work associated with the church. Now, when you look at Acts chapter 6, verse 7, 1 through 7, you'll see more information in regards to that. Now, this important step of progress in the early church allowed the apostle more time for prayer and study of the Word of God, which is vitally important to every church. Now, Paul, he went out into the rain and cold and bound with his prisoner chains and gathered a bundle of sticks. And in the bundle of sticks was a snake that stuck out and struck out and bit Paul on the head. And the island saw that the snake bite Paul and that they immediately knew that it was a deadly, venomous snake. And they fully expected that Paul would die. And perhaps it was a local superstition that caused them to believe that if a snake bite a person, that that person would possibly a murderer or committed a great offense worthy of death. Now, however, Paul, as the prisoner, certainly could have fit into their mode of thinking because of his chains that he was bound with. But the islanders watched Paul with great interest They probably talked much in their native tongue to each other, discussing the grave danger that confronted this man. However, the Lord protected Paul. He did not even swell up, much less die. The miraculous power of God healed Paul instantly and inhibited the Holy Spirit power over serpents. Luke 10 and 19. It is no wonder Luke wrote this, for he was with Paul at that time. And he noted that us in the recounting of the shipwreck in Acts chapter 28, verses 2 and 7, which was written by Luke. Truly, God has and inhibit real saving power over any deadly thing that may come to the people of God. Serpents have a unique place in Scripture. It was the form of a serpent that Satan took to beguile Eve. It was the form of the rod of Moses took when Moses talked to Pharaoh. This reptile was one that attacked the Israelites and caused God to have Moses make it a brazen serpent and put it on a pole and have the afflicted individual look on it and to live. Paul knew that God had protected his people before, and certainly he would again. Now, some have misinterpreted various verses in the Scripture to encourage snake handling. But that was neither the case here nor is it the case anywhere in Scripture. The attack from this serpent was neither solicited or challenged. It came as Paul was helping to build the fire. For a person to subject himself to a snake to see if he will die if bitten is not scriptural. There was no snake handling service here in the New Testament to check one's level of faith. Scholars agree regarding the promises of Mark 16 and 18 and other similar passages of Scripture that if a child of God encounters a deadly, poisonous, or dangerous circumstances, God will protect that person, Isaiah 43 and 2. But it is unwise and unacceptable for a person to tempt or to test God. Now let's look at the Scripture, Isaiah 43 and 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the fire kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43 and 2. Now, wintering on Malaita, let's look at an invitation from the governor. Now, when Paul did not die or become sick, they believed that he was a god. This gave Paul an open door to become friends with Ptolemy, a governor of the island. Also, since Paulus was as the governor of Malaita, was under the jurisdiction of the governor of Sicily, he would have been required to host any Roman soldier and their prisoner. It is not surprising that Luke stated about Paulus, he received us and lodged us 3 days being courteous, Acts 28 and 7. Now, God gave Paul an opportunity as never before to minister in the area of the country that he would not have gone to on his own. God takes his people to places where he can receive glory from their lives. Moreover, it is unusual hardship that permanently molds our character into a useful instrument for God and his glory. We must recognize that even Paul's father was sick with a fever, and Paul prayed for him, and God restored him to health. This gave the Miletans even more faith for the ministry of Paul. Others came and received prayer and healing. What a witness this left on the island for many years to come. And you know, it is interesting today that the Isle of Malaita is considered to be 90% Christians. Now, let's look further, that even on Malaita, from October to January, now, the 3 months that Paul spent on the island apparently was days of great evangelism. What joy must have prevailed in the midst of trying circumstances while waiting out the winter? There are reasons and seasons of disappointment, but how one responds is the key to turning disappointment into his appointment. Now, I hope you catch that and caught that, because I'm going to say that again, that many times we are faced with disappointments, and if we are not looking out of our spiritual realm or the spiritual eye, we will miss the appointment, the divine appointment, the divine appointed time of reaching someone that God is striving to evangelize, to talk to, or minister, or even to reconcile them back unto God. And so I encourage and I would invite us to consider that when we find ourselves in those dire straits or situation, begin to ask God, God, what would you have me to do? God, who are you reaching? God, what do you want me to say unto this individual, what you're doing right here? Because I come to tell you that God is endeavoring to reach somebody, even in your bad situation. God is speaking to somebody and reaching someone in that circumstance and situation. So as we begin to ask God in the midst of the circumstances and situation, God, who are we here to reach? God, who are you? Have me in the situation to minister to talk to pray for, to give them a word of encouragement. I remember when I first gotten saved, giving my life unto the Lord, and how God would allow me to be walking really closely with some of the precious saints. And when I walked along the side with them, there was one of my dear, dear friends who was sick in the hospital, who God allowed to be my dear sister in Christ and walking with me and teaching me the ways and the things of God. She's from Panama. Her name is Marcella. She was a profound woman of God, and she still is. And so she was a tremendous blessing unto me. But one of the things that she had gotten sick, and I remember going and visiting her. And here I go to visit the sick, even though I found myself in just a battle, just in a battle after a battle. But when I left her presence, I tell you, child of God, she, in the midst of struggling for her life on her sick bed, she ministered to me that when I left her presence, I said, God, I feel so blessed. I was uplifted, and I felt so encouraged. But I told the Lord, I said, Father, I went to encourage your precious daughter, but I left out being encouraged. And this woman who has blessed me, she had learned how, in the midst of her circumstances, in the midst of her situation, to be happy and to bless God's people with love and kindness. And when I came out of her room and came out from visiting with her, I was so ministered to and strengthened by the woman of God. And such as it is, when we find ourselves in those dire straits, God, there's God right where you at. That's the greatest time for ministry. That is the greatest time for you to display the glory of God. Paul often talked about him. He gloried in his infirmity that the power of God might rest upon him and things. And so sometime in your infirmities or the things that's coming up against you, the power of God is resting upon you. And go ahead and share it and with someone and tell someone about the glorious acts and the glorious works of the God in which we serve. And so as we look further, Luke mentioned that they were honored with many honors, Acts 28 and 10. Further, when the time of departure came, there was an obvious display of great friendship. The people brought them items that they would need to finish their trip. Now, let's look at here we find Paul. He's getting ready to depart, and he was departing to go to Rome on a Alexandrian grand ship. And so here they're getting ready to leave and head back onto their original trip, and that was there to Rome. Now, the ship was on which the Romans, which Paul continued their journey, was from Alexandria, similar to the one that had suffered shipwreck. Now, because of Egypt supplied the grain used in Italy, because of the number of large passengers this ship was able to take on, many presumed that it was too was a ship carrying grain as well. And you can see that. Again, this is historical points, Acts chapter 27, verse 6, and also verse 38, as well as chapter 28, verse 11. Grain was shipped from Egypt to Rome in ancient time and had definite route. That this cargo ship of Alexandria was off that route and was in Asia Minor at the time, probably was because of the weather as well. Now, the weather we know is in God's control. Clearly, God seemed to have directed it into the same place as Paul and company, and by no accident, it was able to carry all the passengers who had suffered even shipwreck. Now, look at God. Even in his infinite wisdom, he know how to create the provision that is needed for the purpose. And so I want you who are there trying to wrestle it in your own mind and figure out how you're going to accomplish the will of God. If God called you to accomplish a purpose, even as he did Paul, God will create the provision for you to carry it out. And so we must rest in the fact of putting our trust and our ultimate trust in God's process of how he will carry out his own vision that he's given unto us through his provision. And so I come to encourage your heart, child of God, that one that is raffling in your spirit right about now and in your mind right about now of how you are going to do this thing for God. God is the one that's going to give the provision. You make yourself available and follow out the instruction and be faithful to God and the things of God, walking upright and holy before the Lord our God, and he will bring the provision. Just keep a willing spirit, because it may not look the way you think it's going to look, or it may not even come to pass the way that you may think it's come to pass. But I come to tell you, just like in the scripture text on today, Paul had knew that he needed to get to Rome. But see, God had need of him to go even to Malaita to also to evangelize there. And he allowed the shipwreck to take place, even though he was warned not to go to Jerusalem. But there was a need for him to even go to Malaita and find himself at that island and things and look at the conversion, look at those that was evangelized. And so even in your circumstances, somebody is being touched, somebody is being reconciled, somebody is being healed, somebody is being delivered, somebody is being touched, someone's faith is growing because of you and because of that which you're going through. So hold fast and hold on to God's unchanging hand. He will do it in and through your life. And so I come to tell you that he is. And so let's look at how when they left even Malaita and they winded up landing in Syracuse on Sicily. Leaving Malaita, they would have made the journey north to the capital of Sicily, some 80 miles away, with favorable winds in one day. However, it was necessary for them to remain there for 3 days. If Paul had the same liberty there as when he was in Sidon in Acts chapter 27, verse 3, we can assume that he went ashore with one thing in mind. winning souls for the kingdom of God. And let's take up and stop for and park here for just one moment. Let us be mindful as children of God. It's all about winning souls back for Christ and for the kingdom of God. Even in every, on our mountaintop experience, even in our valley experience, in our storms, in our setbacks, they are all about pointing souls back unto God, because every man, woman, boy, or girl that have given their life to God and serving Him have the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling people back and pointing people back unto God. And so let us never, ever, ever forget that purpose. And that is the ultimate purpose of winning souls back unto Christ. Now let us look further into the word of the Lord. Now here, however, it was necessary for them to remain there for 3 days. And if Paul had the same, as we said, he was all about souls. And how interestingly that the Cilicians today regard Apostle Paul as the founder of the church on that island. And so look at what God is doing in the life of Apostle Paul. Even as he was on his way even to Rome, God was still using the man of God to establish churches. And so I come to tell you, in your circumstances and even in your situation, God is still establishing things and faith and hope, healing, deliverance in the lives of people, even as you passing through. Now, the scripture also stated that they fetched a compass and came to Regrim. This could have meant that they purchased a magnet needle compass, or it could have literally meant that they went into a citrus direction as the storm allowed, which meaning that they may not be clear to us. However, they continued north from Sicily and landed at Hegrim. Now, let us look further as they continued to sail to Hegrim and finally to the mainland of Italy. Now, Hegrim is located in the Italian Brettanese coast at the southern entrance of the Strait of Messina. Ancient coins of the city have the very figures of Castor and Pollux, the signs of Paul's ship. Now, the Bible is wonderfully accurate, even geographically. Regrim is today the modern city of Regal. Now, the company stayed at Regrim only one day. A southern wind began to blow, and they continued north, which is located near the Bay of Naples. Here, while going ashore, Paul found some Christian brethren. Now, God have a way of always bringing his people together. They were able to stay for a week and enjoy the company, and we can be certain that they enjoy some wonderful worship together with the people receiving salvation. Obviously, the centurion was not under great stress to meet a deadline in Rome to complete the trip. Travel in those days was afflicted by the lack of communication, the mercy of the weather, and other variable conditions. Now, even at this seaport at Puteoli was the first Roman port they encountered on the Gulf of Naples. Now, a Roman colony was first established here in 194 BC. Puteoli became a prosperous commercial city. Now, as they continue on the travel and things, Paul met by a delegation of believers. Now, the Roman Christians were thankful that Paul had came. He had earlier written to them in the epistle to the Romans, and now they would see the author of the letter. And this was Paul's first known trip to Rome. it was a new territory for him. And as Paul drew near the end of his last missionary journey, knowing that Nero was not at all sympathetic to the Christian, perhaps he was low in spirit. However, when he met his fellow Christians there, men and women who had been saved as a result of his Roman letter, the scripture described them as thankful and courageous. Now, God knows how to send encouragement to us when we least expect it and when we are in need of it most. Now, look here. As Paul and God used Paul as he was going in the various avenues and places in Rome, encouraging and strengthening the churches there, those that were saved there, and even those who had only known Paul by letter was able to see Paul firsthand and see him in person. I come to tell you, even in this lesson, that God is truly the refuge for the children of God and the keeper. And as we looked at Apostle Paul's life and look how he journeyed from the various locations, but in between all of these places, even though God was being his refuge and was a refuge from the storm, but even in the storm, it had purpose of souls being saved, of all throughout on the Isle of Malta, souls being saved, even in every coast that Apostle Paul found himself landing, souls was being saved and people with lives were being touched. I come to tell you, child of God, that God is going to bless you. He's going to open doors. He's going to make ways. He's going to provide the provision. Even though Paul knew he needed to go to Rome, God blessed him on that trip and blessed it to be sweetness because he met so many of the precious, wonderful saints as he was traveling on his way to his final destination. He was encountering the wonderful people of God. And so, children of God, Jesus Christ loves you with an everlasting love, and he's right there by your side in the midst of the storm. Just begin to start looking, even through the eye of the storm, and begin to say, God, what soul's here? Who do I need to touch? Who do I need to witness to? Who do I need to be able to point them back unto you? And begin to look for those opportunities that God has so purposed in our circumstances to touch somebody else's life. Either it's just kindness, showing kindness, giving a kind word, giving a smile, being courteous, being gracious, being kind. That is ministering unto somebody. You may not be in the storm, but your brother may be in the storm. Your sister may be in the storm. Someone else may be in the storm. And even in the midst of the storm, we could be that refuge with a kind word. We can be that refuge by praying and interceding and telling them that God is going to do it. God is going to make a way out of no way. God is going to open the door on their behalf as we continually in endeavoring to minister unto their hearts and mind and soul a word from the Lord, standing in the gap on their behalf. I come to tell you, child of God, that God is going to do it, no matter how bleak it may look, no matter how bad it may seem. You may be between one thought and one action, but God will come and step right in on time and make a way out of no way. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he can. And yes, he shall. The Bible says that if we call on him, he will answer and show us great and mighty things that we know not of. All we need to do is just keep calling on him. Keep seeking him. Keep pressing forward and upward in the things of the Lord. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, even as he did it for Paul, and Paul had even been warned by the prophet Agabus, don't leave. Don't go into Jerusalem. And so even though the men who was the centurion and even the guards did not listen to Paul, but they took and set out to sail. And some of you who have already set out to sail, not because you wanted to, but you had heard the word of the Lord, and because you had no control over the action of other people, they went ahead and moved forward in it. When you tried to warn them not to go, I come to tell you, because you are on board and because you wanted to obey God and do it the way God told you to do it, but because of other circumstances and situations that did not listen to God, and they went out ahead, and now they're facing shipwreck, now they're facing the storm, but because of your faith and your faithfulness to God, God's going to bring you out on time. He's going to bring you out and not going to lose not a one, because God has already made the provision for every purpose that you will meet in your life. God's purpose will always be met by his provision. And so I want you to know, child of God, God will provide, and he will make a way out of no ways. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you face, God will come through on your behalf. And such as it was with Apostle Paul, he found a refuge of knowing that he was in the will of God, no matter how the circumstances went, no matter what the decision was of others. He was still yet doing ministry even while he was on his way to Rome. I come to tell somebody today and things, you are still yet going to be blessed. God still yet is going to do it. God is still yet going to bless you and open doors and make ways out of no way. God still yet is on the throne and in control of every storm, every wind, every rain, every circumstances. Is God in control? And if you can quiet your spirit and quiet your emotion and quiet your thought and come into agreement with the will of God and begin to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done, even in this circumstances and this situation, then God will begin to give you revelatory information as to why you're even in the situation. And when you get the revelation, God's going to give you demonstration. And after demonstration comes manifestation of God's divine will and purpose of why you even travel that journey. And I tell you, child of God, as we purpose in our life, that no matter where we find ourselves at, we are going to do the work and the will of God, whether it's saying a word on behalf of God, inviting someone to church, giving someone a word that God will do it on their behalf, and showing kindness and love. Watch God do it. Watch God open the door. Watch God make a way out of no way. Watch God undergird you and fortify you. Watch God bring it to pass on your behalf. Watch God do it, because he is that type of God. He's a God that will not lie. If he promised it unto you, surely he's going to bring it to pass. And so stop trying to figure out how this all is going to work out. Just trust God, and he'll work out all of the details. He'll tell you. He will show you. I don't care how big the mountain is. Begin to prophesy to the mountain. I don't care how the waves begin to roll and the billows begin to roll and blow in your circumstances and situation. Speak to the wind and watch the wind have to obey, and watch God work things out on your behalf. And so if storms never leave our life, it just would not be a real life, or our lives are periodically is going to encounter some type of a storm one way or another. But we got to recognize, child of God, that there is a refuge in the midst of our storm. Now, let's see Paul. As he was there on his last missionary journey that he had not even planned, things happened. He did not know the route that it would take. He knew only that God was sending him to Jerusalem, then on to Rome. Perhaps this was the reason he appealed to Caesar. Now, the journey to Rome was a trying, as even the imprisonment itself. However, in it all, God used Paul mightily and took him to places that he never, ever been. The hardship did not deter him. His love for his God and his determination to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. Evil schemes, shipwreck, and even the serpent could not take his life. He rested squarely in the hand of the eternal God. The Lord himself had authored the story of Paul's life, and nothing could change the divine plot. God dearly loved the main character of even this story, detailed story of Paul on his way to Rome. Moreover, God was both the author and the finisher of his faith and saw him all the way even unto Rome. I come to tell you, child of God, the master designer, he's on your side. And he's going to do it. He's going to work it out. He's already designed and orchestrated a blessing for you. Don't get deterred by the hardship. Don't get deterred by the circumstances and the situation or even the storm in your life. God loves you, and he has purpose for you in the midst of that storm. Hold fast to your love. Hold fast to what you know to be true, and don't let it slip. Know that God is going to do it. Be even more determined to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to all people. Don't let the evil schemes and the shipwrecks in your life, or even the serpents that are in your life, to move you from what God is going to do. It can't take your life, but rest your faith and your hope squarely into the hand of God, the eternal God, the everlasting God, the great I Am, and watch him fight every battle. Look unto the hill from which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Oh, child of God, the King of glory, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I come to tell you, rest your faith and rest in God, in his wonderful hand, because he is the King of kings. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And he is the great battle axe, and he's fighting every one of your battle. So rest assured, child of God, come hell or high water, the God that you serve, he's able to make the crooked places straight. He's able to exalt your valley. And he's ever able to bring down every high places and able to make that way for you. So be encouraged. Go back and do the work that he called you out to do. And hold fast to his unchanging hand, because he's going to work it out on your behalf. So with every purpose, it will be met by God's provision. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your people and to encourage their hearts in the midst of the storm, that you are that refuge and you are the one that will keep us. Help us forever to keep our hearts and minds focused on your love and focused on the things of God, and that souls will be forever saved and delivered, because you are that type of God that can do all things but fail. Father, we ask, oh God, that you will continue to undergird and fortify and strengthen as we bless your name and be used by you for the upbuilding of your kingdom and for the saving of souls. And Father, we thank you and we give you the glory and honor in Jesus' wonderful, matchless name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, we ask as we close on today, as always, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Watch God do it on your behalf. And I want to say, Father God, I'm so glad that you was with me on today. I want you to go to either my Facebook page or go over to my Twitter.com/HelenOrm, and let me know how you've been blessed by these sessions and lessons. Email me at HelenOrm@.com, HelenOrm@MSN.com, and let me know how that you like it and how that you've been blessed. I believe that this has been a blessing unto you. I want to hear from you. Share it with someone. Go tell somebody about what you have heard on today and encourage them to join me or to archive some of these wonderful and glorious lessons, that it may be food, soul food, food for your soul, for those that cannot get back out to Christian education, those that cannot make it to your Bible study because of work or because of secret being shut in. You can enjoy these wonderful lessons each and every day by just going to blogtopradio.com/HomeTalkRadio, and you can tune in and listen to these wonderful lessons each and every day. And so, again, I want to say thank you. Be sure to tell a friend that you have been blessed, and they could be blessed, too, by eating from the fresh manna Word of God. May God bless you, is my prayer. Until we meet again, bye-bye.